Join Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin for a new monthly edition of the Capital Ideas Podcast. It's your look inside one of the world's largest asset managers. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. Invest 30 minutes today. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia for this Friday, June 9th in Hong Kong, Thursday, June 8th in New York. And coming up today,
the S&P 500 enters a bull market as tech shares rally.
General Motors will adapt its electric vehicles to Tesla superchargers, creating a new industry standard in the United States.
And China's consumer price inflation may have stayed muted last month.
The U.S. says reports of China setting up spy facilities on Cuba are not accurate. Sunak at the White House talking China, Ukraine, and sharing tech. Canadian wildfire smoke spreads farther south in the U.S. I'm Ed Baxter with Global News.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia, the business news you need to start your day in just one 15-minute podcast. Available on Apple, Spotify, the Bloomberg Business app, and everywhere you get your podcasts.
Good morning. I'm Doug Krisner.
And I'm Brian Curtis. Here are the stories we're following today. Goldman Sachs COO John Waldron says the U.S. may yet avoid a recession. But he said the firm is preparing for a mini stagflation scenario. Here's Waldron speaking at the Bloomberg Invest Conference in New York.
It might not be massive stagflation, but if you have sluggish growth, 1% plus minus growth, and inflation doesn't really get down below 3%, and rates have to stay 3%+ for a while, that's not going to feel, it's not going to be called a recession, but it's not going to feel great.
Many economists have been predicting a recession is coming as the Fed aggressively hikes interest rates. Traders are now wondering whether Fed officials will keep interest rates higher for longer. Officials will have their eye on the key U.S. inflation data out next week. And of course, they will have been looking at those jobless claims today. After next week, the Fed, or in next week, the Fed will be issuing its next policy decision on the 14th of June.
Big news after the bell when it comes to electric vehicles. General Motors will now adapt its EVs to Tesla's superchargers. We have more from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
It is following Ford Motors' lead, and it all but ensures that it will become an industry standard in the U.S. GM CEO Mary Barra broke her seven-month silence on Twitter to announce the news, with Tesla CEO Elon Musk on Twitter Spaces saying GM EVs will gain access to 12,000 superchargers. Tesla's network will be open to GM EV drivers starting in 2024 and will require an adapter. Beginning in 2025, GM will build its electric vehicles with a port for direct access to Tesla superchargers. In New York, Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
And again, as mentioned a few moments ago, Tesla's stock was up 4.6% in this latest session. Citigroup has disbanded a global team that does foreign exchange analysis. We get that story from Bloomberg's Tracy Junkie.
Citi FX is no more. The Citigroup strategy team provided commentary and analysis on foreign exchange markets, and it's been dismantled. A person with knowledge of the change tells Bloomberg that other parts of the bank perform similar services. We're told some FX analysts make continue to work in other areas at the bank, but employees in London and New York are heading for the exits. Tracy Junkie, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Meantime, over at Bank of America, a reworking of leadership in the bank's investment banking unit. We have that story from Bloomberg's Ann Cates.
Bank of America is shifting responsibility for its global transaction services business to Mark Monaco, who will continue in his current role leading enterprise payments. Faiz Ahmad will become co-head of global capital markets alongside Sarang Adkari. Bank of America says bringing these areas more closely together supports efforts to drive capabilities even further for its business, corporate, and institutional clients in the U.S. and around the world. Wall Street investment banks are still facing a muted environment for deal-making. In Washington, Ann Cates, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
Chinese consumer prices are likely to have stayed flat again in May. Bloomberg's Joanne Wong has the story from Hong Kong.
High-frequency data show a mixed picture, but on balance, consumer inflation may have edged up. Bloomberg Economics says CPI probably rose 0.4% from a year earlier. This would be a marginal pickup from April's 0.1% pace, but it would be well below last year's 2% average. On the other hand, PPI may have deepened its slide to 4.3%, reflecting weak demand. And that's reinforcing the need for further stimulus. In Hong Kong, I'm Joanne Wong, Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
I'm Brian Curtis, along with Doug Krisner, and Rashad Salamat will join us a little bit later. So I heard you mention bull market, technically a bull market. The bears don't seem all that concerned here at the moment about 4,200 or 4,300 for the S&P 500, Doug, because as you mentioned, the gains are kind of technical in that what we're talking about here is a cap-weighted index, and it's been led by 7 to 10 stocks. But what we're hearing on this program and others from the bears is that they're more concerned about breadth. If cyclical shares really do make a comeback, it's in early days, and today wasn't a day for that because, as you mentioned, we had financials and materials and industrials not doing all that well. But that would be significant, and it's actually been a pretty good move for banks, small caps, transports, and industrials in June.
Yeah, although the small caps, I think, hit a bit of a wall today with the Russell down about 0.4%. But to your point, Brian, so far this week, the Russell 2000 is up about 2.8%. And the theme of AI still infecting the tech space. We were talking on the pre-show meeting about the Adobe news, the company planning to sell a new AI subscription with copyright services. That stock popped by more than 5.5% today.
Yeah, it's really still the case that if you deliver on the earnings side, you get rewarded. If you don't, you're still getting punished pretty sharply. We did see a pretty good move from DocuSign today as well after its earnings. But the jump in jobless claims is interesting. Maybe take it with a grain of salt in that it was a holiday week. Is that what you're hearing?
Maybe, although there's some people are saying that a crack may be emerging now in the labor market. That's one of the things I think that the market has been waiting for. That would justify the Fed maybe to sometime down the road engineer a policy shift. I think it's fair to say that we're expecting a pause next week. Maybe the communication would include the fact that the Fed is poised to hike rates if necessary in the future. But when you get data like this today, I think it creates a little bit of enthusiasm for those who are hoping for a pivot.
Yeah, I saw a few comments, though, that because of the Memorial Day holiday, might be good to wait another week or two before we take any make any stark conclusions. All right, now it's time for global news. I'm Brian Curtis along with Rashad Salamat, and let's get over to Ed Baxter, who is looking at markets in San Francisco. Ed.
All right, thank you very much, Brian. The White House is saying today that reports of China setting up spying facilities in Cuba are not accurate. Now, the report yesterday had said that China would set up a spy base on the island with the intent of targeting U.S. military bases and communications. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby on MSNBC says no.
Look, I've seen that press report. It's not accurate. What I can tell you is that we have been concerned since day one of this administration about China's influence activities around the world, certainly in this hemisphere and in this region. We're watching this very, very closely, and we will, and we have, and will continue to take steps to mitigate any potential threat that those activities might pose.
Now, Kirby did not expand on what is not accurate or whether the report is not true. Kirby also said he had no announcement to make about potential State Department trip to Beijing, but says work is being done to get it and a Biden-Xi meeting as well on the books. UK Prime Minister Rishi Sunak at the White House today saying there is total agreement between the two countries about China's threat to the globe.
Countries like China and Russia are willing to manipulate and exploit our openness, steal our intellectual property, use technology for authoritarian ends, or withdraw crucial resources like energy. They will not succeed.
Yeah, meanwhile, the two have agreed to work on an agreement that could help British automakers qualify for electric car subsidies and speed the joint development of advanced weapons like hypersonic missiles. This would entail using critical minerals, but President Joe Biden says defense.
We're doing more to prevent technologies that are invented and developed in our countries from being used for military or intelligence purposes by countries that do not share our values.
Now, both agreed aid for Ukraine would not be cut or ended. The smoke from the terrible Canadian wildfires has spread south along the eastern seaboard of the U.S. It stretches from Canada down through Washington, D.C. to the Carolinas now. Bloomberg's Lauren Amias in New York City.
New York City public schools are going to be remote tomorrow. Several major outdoor events that were scheduled for today are canceled. Some Shakespeare in the Park performances and Broadway shows have been rescheduled.
Yeah, but Mayor Eric Adams says some relief may be coming.
As of right now, the smoke models are not indicating another large plume over the city. So there's a chance for significant improvement by tomorrow morning and throughout the day tomorrow.
So that's a good news. But New Jersey Governor Phil Murphy says Canadian authorities say while they are slowing the fire's progress, it could still grow.
I was on with the Canadian authorities last evening, and the scale of this is extraordinary. They said they had 10 million acres burning, that number was going to go up, they believe, to 12 million.
Meteorologists say it's up to air and wind patterns now to determine how bad things will get in each area. Global News, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in over 120 countries in San Francisco. I'm Ed Baxter, and this is Bloomberg.
The Capital Ideas podcast now has a new monthly edition hosted by Capital Group CEO Mike Gitlin. Investment professionals reveal their best mentors, how they find their next great idea, and a few funny stories. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. American Funds Distributors, Inc.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Brian Curtis, along with Rashad Salamat. Elfreda Junca is our guest, a client portfolio manager and investment specialist at Alfinity Investment Management. Elfreda, thank you for joining us. Is that what you're looking for, is breadth in the market to confirm that this hasn't all been about the top 7 to 10 stocks, but that the economy is coming back? Is that important to you?
Yes, absolutely. Year to date, as you've mentioned earlier, it's been all about the top seven stocks contributing 100%. What we as equity investors need to see is a widening of that breadth, not just in the tech sector, but really what we want to see is that broadening across most of the sectors in the economy and in the market. So we're constantly looking for opportunities elsewhere as well.
So, Fred, where actually are you investing then? You don't have really any exposure to Japan or China. In the case of the former, that's quite quite a lacuna.
Yes. So we are currently invested in the US, Europe. We always invest across the board. For example, one of our biggest stocks currently is Mercado Libre, which is in LATAM. So we really do try and have that broad exposure. And what's important for us is also where companies generate the revenues, not just where they are listed. So we currently are finding new opportunities really across a number of different regions. We're not just specifically looking at the US or, just Europe. We are going wide and far, trying to find those opportunities. We specifically look for companies that's in an earnings upgrade cycle and that's high quality and trading at reasonable valuations. And at the moment, that is quite a feat to find companies with really solid earnings growth that you believe can be sustainable in this environment.
Yeah, I see on your conviction list is Microsoft, McDonald's, and Intuitive Surgical. It's always good to get some names from our guests.
Yes.
The importance of breadth in the market, it may not be so important for the index numbers themselves, right? Because if the mega caps settle back a little bit, then the numbers may come down. But it would indicate, I mean, the only reason people would be buying cyclicals in numbers would be that they see the economy as coming back. And that would be a kind of indication, perhaps, that you get a soft landing and not some sort of stagflation or recession.
Yeah, absolutely. I think at this point in time, we do view the risks as being quite balanced. Yes, there's a lot of optimism overnight on the back of the
sort of unemployment numbers spiking. But I think we really need to look back to last week when you still had really strong payrolls numbers. So the Fed really has a lot to look at, and they won't react on one specific point. For us, what we do look for at the moment is we look, as you say, for that broader breadth in the market. I think it's quite early to really say we out of the woods yet, and we can start to price in rate cuts in the future. So that is why, if you think about that sort of conviction list that you've mentioned, there's a defensive name in there like McDonald's in combination with Microsoft. For us, it's really important at this point in time to remain quite diversified, not just across regions, as we've previously mentioned, but also across industries and themes playing out in the market. I think it's quite dangerous to put all your eggs in one basket and just go into tech stocks because they're the flavor of the month. For us, companies like a McDonald's plays an important part in a portfolio on evenings where you can see the uncertainty creep back in. That's when they do their job.
I've just looked at those stocks, and Intuitive Surgery, that's a crowded trade, isn't it, around the healthcare side of things. I mean, it's also one which has had this FOMO about it, but it's up 44% from this time last year. McDonald's up 18% and Microsoft up 22%. At what point do you actually say that I'm going to realize these gains, and what do you look at next?
Yeah, I think at this point, these are all stocks that we've had for quite some time, and we've enjoyed the fact that they've been relatively resilient in a very sort of volatile environment over the last 12 months. For us, it's important to ensure that there's still additional earnings growth coming through. That's particularly important for us as we want to ensure we find those companies that's in a longer earnings upgrade cycle. Now, companies like McDonald's, it's not expensive yet, and continue to trade well in evenings when tech stocks, for example, don't trade well.
Yeah.
But at the end of the day, I think for us, it's about managing your position size as these stocks become more expensive.
This is Bloomberg Daybreak Asia, your morning brief on the stories making news from Hong Kong to Singapore and Wall Street.
Look for us on your podcast feed every day on Apple, Spotify, and anywhere else you get your podcasts.
You can also listen live each day on Bloomberg 1130 in New York, Bloomberg 99.1 in Washington, Bloomberg 1061 in Boston, and Bloomberg 960 in San Francisco.
Our flagship New York station is also available on your Amazon Alexa devices. Just say, Alexa, play Bloomberg 1130.
Plus, listen coast to coast on the Bloomberg Business app, Sirius XM Channel 119, the iHeartRadio app, and on Bloomberg.com. I'm Brian Curtis.
And I'm Doug Krisner. Join us again tomorrow for all the news you need to start your day right here on Bloomberg Daybreak Asia.
It can be hard to see the challenges that people we work with every day are going through. I'm Holly Robinson-Pete. Join us on The Visibility Gap, a new podcast presented by Cigna Healthcare. Download it wherever you get your podcasts.
The countdown has begun. This May, 1,000 global leaders will gather in Doha for the Qatar Economic Forum powered by Bloomberg, held in conjunction with our official partners, the Qatar Ministry of Commerce and Industry and Media City Qatar, and premier sponsor QNB. Join heads of state, influential ministers, and leading CEOs to make new connections and gain unique insights. Learn more at QatarEconomicForum.com.